ResourceNet gives us, so that we can, in fact, move to the TravelNet. And again, complete all forms. We've seen that before. And so here we go again. Slide 57, it talks about, again, updating the form for mobilization, the ZR208AF, which is the checklist form, as well as our ICS 214 form. Again, that handout that I referred to a while ago, where we had the standardized messages. Again, the way to spot it easily is the form that says QST, QST, QST on the front as the initial message. In no other form that Wayne created does it start out QST, QST, QST. So
I was going to say, it doesn't use cue signals anywhere else except that one.
Except there, yeah. Oh, well. Well, that's to initiate the process. So you got to get the attention of those of us who think in terms of ham radio lingo. The under standardized activation levels, the second bullet down says conduct awareness and proficiency drills to maintain operational skills. Again, I think the key word there is drills. And we were talking about this before the class, but I think on tape we'll announce it now, is that we're going to modify the website for each class so that the second part of every one of these courses, where it has the quiz, will have not only the quiz, but add the answer key, so that anybody who is taking this class or wants to do review, you can do a self-test and then correct your errors. And Jay has done a super job with the answer key, that if you miss a certain question, he's got next to that question the page or the slide number where that particular topic is discussed. So you can immediately jump to that slide and see the context of why your answer was correct or not correct. Okay, now we're off to slide 58. Okay, the important about mobilizations. Obviously, maintain contact via your designated organizational frequency or frequencies. And not all organizational members may be needed or needed at the same time. Now, in every one of our drills that we've done, within, 20 minutes, we activate everybody? Or mobilize everybody. But what if we had a situation where we needed support 24/7? And we had the same number of people we currently have? We probably would not, unlike the drills that we had, like May 4th, where we had people manning the various positions in the EOC, and there's a couple positions extra, like staging that, which I had, and we had field ops, we would probably not activate all of that at one time. Or we wouldn't even think about activating all those positions if we had to man the essential six positions in the EOC, that we have to have six people. And we now have, we had 10 to 12 active people. So we probably would try to stagger the activations if we had to cover a 24-hour shift or time period. Actually, I think we'd be hurting.
We have a great first shift after that, we'd be screwed.
Yeah. Actually, when you think about it, okay, what was the stat that we learned in the very beginning of this class, of this sequence of training?
One third of the people are available, one third are not available, one third are victims.
Yeah. Okay, so of the 20 some people we currently have on the roster, one third of that, or roughly six, would be available. But how of the people on the roster, how many are active?
Half.
Yeah.
But how many are necessary for each shift? Necessary.
Yeah. Well, you have to have it. Necessary is we've got four radios to man, plus a logger, plus.
And if you really try to pare it down because of the numbers of people that are available,
yeah,
how many would actually be?
Well, actually, okay. What about this? If we were if we really had the man 24/7, maybe what we would do is we'd only handle our primary frequencies, our primary. Okay, that eliminates two radios right there, in and out on our secondary. So then we're down to we got two radio operators. A logger, you still got to have the logger. And what else? Three?
I mean, if you're down with the third one, say you're out electronically, I would actually have a netbook, which we no longer use in the house.
Yeah.
Now I go back to have, I would see doing that multitasking now.
Yeah.
So a lot easier to be on the radio with a headset.
Well, instantly, you mentioned that. One of the observations from our May 4th drill that I had, that I noticed when I looked through all of the logs I looked at the log that we maintain, is it needed some improvement since we're on tape. And it looks like there would be a tremendous opportunity for a logging program similar to what we use on field day that would be available to us, and you could key in, okay, we got a message in, I gave it to EOC 3 position. Okay, when it comes back, I look at the message number, I look at EOC 3, key those in, up pops the message, and you check it off.
Well, there is one that does exist. I was just on a webinar this morning for depiction.
Yeah.
And they were featuring a program that works with depiction, but it has all the ICS forms. You can just
really
pull up and type in. I was pretty excited about it. I was, you know, partially paying attention to it and covering everything else, and then I heard about
when we reorganize our organization. Yeah, but I think it's doable to have a simple form. With a database behind it.
Access.
Yeah.
Set up something inactive.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So we're going to look into it. We'll look into that as a solution. Because our logging really needs help. You saw the email I sent out where we did 83. We did either sending or receiving 83 messages. No way were there 83 entries in our log. I went through and I looked at each message and tallied it up on that spreadsheet.
Did 83 messages, I guess.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
No, not 83 messages, 83. Now the 83, that seemed like a big number, but you think about it, for every time.
83 transactions.
Well, for every message, there was a person who sent it.
Mm-hmm.
That counts,
yeah.
And it's a person who received it.
Yeah.
And that's how I tallied up the large number. And we actually did have that number of either being received or transmitted messages.
So are there actually 42 messages?
42.
Roughly, yeah. I prepared 37 messages before the drill. But remember, we had a lot of traffic coming in from other agencies, and we had messages going out, and we had responses, replies. So anyway, we're off on tangent here. Needless to say, we need to think about how would we handle a 24/7 operation, or could we?
Well, that's why I was suggesting the minimum number of people, and you'd have a rotation of 3-3-3, and if you had more, you could always, you know, minimum of, if you had more, you'd have 4-4-3, or at night it could be less, so it depends on when the busy time is, something like that.
Good idea. We need to think about that, setting up the bare minimum EOC.
Or would we pull people from SORA to volunteer with us?
Yeah, possible.
But they're not.
They haven't gone through the training.
They can't come to the EOC if they're not racing, can they?
No, they can't.
That's why we were thinking earlier that we'd have to use them for the field operator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we hit the fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah. Well, let's move on so we have a chance of getting through all the material here. Good discussion. I didn't mean to totally cut you off, but. We do need to think about what would we do with the small number of operators we have. We're currently on slide 58, and I'm now going to slide 59 of this. Now, the key thing is I always look at the bullets on each one of these slides. I would urge you to look carefully at the title of every slide. Because all of a sudden I thought, oh, we're talking about pre-departure activities. The key word is pre. And in some of these slides we see it's activation or it's mobilization. So that will also help you not get lost with all of these PowerPoint slides. But on slide 59, it says one of our pre-departure activities is to obtain the ICC position assignment. And that would be from, more than likely, our resource net. Or would it?
That's what it says.
That's what it says, but the way we have done our exercises lately, is that true? Do you actually get your assignment in the EOC from the resource net?
So you get it when you're arriving at EOC, at the FAIP?
Yeah, right on. When we do the incident action plan briefing is when you find out what your assignment is. So it's not, as this slide says, from the resource net. I guess it could be, but in our case, that's not the way it works. It could be from the staging net. Staging net could say, you go directly to logging in the EOC, or go directly to your first field assignment at the intersection of A and B streets.
But if it could come from the resource net, if the assignments are based upon the individual's qualifications. If they know this person is qualified for field but not for ICC, he can be given his assignment with an M code from the resource net and told them to go over to the travel net and get where you need to go out in the field.
Actually, I think you're right, because as you think about the restat report, remember there's two columns there. One is M code, and the other is P code, position code. And we've never really talked about it, nor have we used that column, but it's possible that the resource net operator could say, you're gonna be a ZR2R today, or you're gonna be a ZR2F. So, maybe so. But